Here in the locker room area, along with Kenny Resnick and the Big Mouth.
I think you bit off a little bit more than home.
Is it all right? Did you go to Atlantic City? Did you go to Atlantic City? Did you place your bet down? Huh? How about Las Vegas? Go to Las Vegas, huh?
I freak
frequent flyer, yeah.
What the f*** is going on down there?
It's WTF at TFW, and this is Vangelis here with another week of Talking Transformers, and Toy Fair's over, so no more half-hour-long topics, I'm pretty sure. Well, then again, you know, we're gonna be talking about some TF3 rumors. Those could go on for pretty long time.
I hope not.
Anyway, here with me today is Gog Dog.
Hello, people. Hello.
Hello.
How you feeling, Gog Dog?
I'm feeling pretty good. Tomorrow's Friday. After that, it's a weekend. I'm ready for it.
Good man. And also here is a special guest, the co-host of GamePads Unplugged, Seth Buzzard.
Hey! Check us out at GamePadsUnplugged.com, GPads_Unplugged on Twitter, and you can find us on iTunes and all those other great things. I'm not afraid to plug my other projects. And I know some people go, oh, I don't want to be a whore, huh? Dude. That's not being a whore. That's about leveraging an established audience and synergy and free market radicals and downloading stuff.
And to go in a completely different direction, that's a lot less shilly. I've been listening to the first episode, and what I can tell you is that, number one, if you like Seth Buzzard and you like video games, you'll like that podcast. Number two, it involves a mutual friend of ours named Dan, who is a really cool dude who I met back in 03 at a BotCon. And Dan is, like, one of the most unbelievably friendly and chill dudes on the planet. So
he also happens to be a TFW staff member.
That's
it. Yeah, he is. But D-Fuzz on Twitter. Follow
yes,
him.
Yes, Dan Dirty
he
D-Fuzz.
Will retweet. He will retweet Tiny Buddha and bring Zen to your life.
Yeah, he will.
But I would say just for that alone, you should check it out because you have two very cool dudes talking about video games, and there aren't that many video game podcasts out there, so it's not too much of an addition to the
empty wasteland.
Has he updated his status on whether he's going to BotCon or not? I know he was, and then he said he wasn't sure. Have you talked to him about that?
No, I'll be talking to him tomorrow when we record episode 3 of GamePads Unplugged. And
follow them on Twitter.
Yep. GPads _unplugged. And I will probe him for information if you know what I mean.
Verbally, with your mouth. Anyway, we're going to talk about Transformers today, and we're going to start off with, Transformers 3 rumors. Now, I'm going to just start off by saying the reason why I want to cover these, and I'm putting them all on the same topic, is just to say that we talked about them, because I know there are people who do like to hear talking about rumors. It's just that, you'll see. So, I've titled this Transformers 3 Hot Air. The first thing we heard is apparently there will be new characters and twists.
Rumor.
They said that for the last one. It was true, I guess. There will probably be a new Transformer or three, and there will probably be twists in the storyline. either of you guys have a theory you want to add for that?
Yes, it's code. There's a new character and a twist. New character is twin twist.
Oh,
it's code. Wait, a British accent.
You better. If Michael Bay knows what's good for him, you better.
Hope he can make a good risotto. also on the rumor mill was that apparently Transformers 3 is going to bring core mythology to the fore.
All right.
Okay, here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong, but was that not another, like, almost word-for-word thing that was released about TF2 when it was in pre-production?
Yep. Or
yeah. Like that's why I wasn't really wanting to cover this stuff, because this is identical to the lead-up to TF2. It's like, I'm sure this is probably true, because TF2 brought up, like, The Matrix and The Fallen and stuff like that. TF3 will probably bring up something else, but it's like, okay, it's the norm. It's just the when I see this kind of things on the front page, I don't really get excited, because we've seen this all already. I mean, do either of you guys have any thoughts on what the core mythology is that will be brought to the fore?
It's like, how? What core mythology is left? They did the Allspark. They did the Matrix.
Like, Duocons!
They haven't Vector talked Sigma.
About that too.
And then they're gonna destroy Vector Sigma next.
Yeah, exactly. Every time they bring up core mythology in this movie franchise, they introduce the Allspark, it gets destroyed. They introduce the Matrix, it gets destroyed. I don't want them to bring anything else up.
I could do without the key to splintered. Vector Sigma, so let's hope it's that. Blow that up again.
Why are you hating on Vector Sigma?
I don't mind Vector Sigma, but that key is a prick. I don't like that key.
Why are you hating on the key, dog?
Hate is gonna hate! There was one other thing that came up, which is that Prime and Bumblebee's character models are apparently going to be updated. Bumblebee's going to look a little bit older, and Prime's going to look a little bit more heroic. There have been, I think, quite a few pages of speculation about this, but again, I don't really know what to say about it, other than, like, I bet Bumblebee will have new lines on him, and I bet Prime might have, like, a more defined nose? I don't know. Like, do either of you guys have any ideas on what the model updates might be?
I have no idea. They said they wanted him to look more mature, because they said since the last movie you can tell he's grown a little bit.
Because he rips dudes in half by their spine.
Maybe he'll lose the baby fat in his cheeks, and his face will become more angular. I don't know.
Yeah,
with Prime, like, the character model for Prime as it is, and as it was, and as it has been, I can't really, I've never been able to put my finger on it, but there was just something that didn't seem right. Like, he kind of seemed too skinny in the arms, and, like, the way the truck cab parts were on his chest kind of made him look like later day Ric Flair, not young Ric Flair. And then his face kind of has like a long slope toward the mouth that kind of seems drawn. And so if they make him like a little burlier in appearance, like beef up his shoulders or something, that might be good.
That seems like something that, like, if they're saying more kind of heroic, that is a kind of heroic thing to do, is to give him some more, like, Captain America or animated Prime proportions.
Yeah, a big shield.
Give him a huge shield that he can throw. We'll have him played by Reb Brown. Meets Peter Cullen. Anyway, either of you guys have anything else you want to bring up about TF3 rumors? Or
no.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Ray Park is apparently going to be in it.
Right. Yeah. And everyone's going like, I wonder who he's going to mocap. And it's like, Ray Park can... He's done speaking roles, too. Like,
yeah.
Well, he spoke as Toad. What other speaking roles
he had speaking roles
he was,
in...
He was in the latest season of Heroes. He was a pretty prominent character.
And he was in that PS3 game that was really big when it came out with all the mocap stuff. Heavenly Blade? I can't remember what it's called. But he played like 15 characters in that or something, so he's done some voicing, too.
Maybe he'll be a new...
Oh, no, sorry, that was Andy Serkis! That wasn't Ray Park. Wow, I got it all wrong.
You mean Gollum?
All those Brits, man, they all look alike to me. Ha, ha, ha.
Racist! I don't know, maybe Ray Park will be a soldier for Nest.
Maybe he'll be Circuit Breaker. Shot.
Huh?
It'll be Circuit Breaker.
That would be something that they would do in a Transformer movie. Because they take all the great characters and make them kind of dumb. And, Well, they're not going to ever have Circuit Breaker, but if the having Circuit Breaker and making Circuit Breaker a dude seems like the sort of thing that they would do.
It won't just be any dude. He'll be Ray Park. He'll have, like, a lightsaber.
And Michael Bay will be like, what's this Circuit Breaker character about? It's, like, this chick that's, like, naked except for, like, some metal covering the bits that we can't show. Can we do that as a guy? Why would we do that?
They'll turn.
Just cause.
We're bringing core mythology to the fore by doing that.
What's the guy's name? The Jesus. What's his name?
Oh, John Turturro.
Yeah, like Jesus. In the first one, you had his boxers, and the second one, you had his jock strap. And this one, he's just going to be straight up circuit breaker with little metal flakes just covering his genitals.
Wearing a awesome chrome metal thong and firing lightning out of his bits. So that's our Transformers 3 coverage, I think. So there you go, guys. You've talked about the rumors.
John Turturro is Circuit Breaker.
John Turturro is Circuit Breaker in a metal thong shooting electricity out of his little John Turturro.
And Ray Park is playing the thong.
Quote all that on IMDb for us. Let's pick out some new picks. Hey, Gog, what's a new picture you'd like to pick out?
Oh, Seth said he wanted to go first.
Oh, he did?
What?
Seth! What's a new problem? Picture you'd like to pick out? What's a new picture you'd like to pick out?
I found one. It was easy. Shattered Glass Cyclonus. He looks cool.
Yeah!
I think I'm going to get him.
I have to renew my club membership, but I am very interested in him, because like I said, when they talked about the concept of him back when they revealed it, like, that's the one Shattered Glass toy. If they were only going to make one more, that's the one I'd like to have seen them make. So
the regular universe version of Cyclonus, and I have the Henkei, but they're both G1 Cyclonus, just slightly, you know, different color schemes, but I wouldn't mind having another one. I like this mold. I like the mold a lot. So I wouldn't mind getting a repaint of this. So yeah, how much do the club exclusives usually go for? Because I've
40 to 50 for deluxe.
I'll get it. Yeah, I'll probably get it. Yeah, my membership, actually, I got an email today.
Me too.
It expired. It expired today. So yeah, because I think this is when
We all got it for BotCon, wasn't it? Like
exactly. Yeah. That was it. We all did it on the same day.
I got to renew mine. So. And I also got to renew mine to get my free free Dion. Don't forget, Dion.
Yeah. I it's not perfect, you know. As other people have pointed out, there's probably some things they could have done to make it better. But I like it enough, and the mold is great. So let me get it.
There was a kind of a sad thing, though, appended to that news story. It turns out that Punch Counterpunch is not going to have remolded hands, so he's going to have some really janky thumbs.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, the fists easily kind of slide out, so...
It'll be simple to fix up, but...
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not going to be like you're going to have one character with permanent reversed hands. I mean, you can do something about it. Does it stink? Yeah. I mean, you could probably take some sandpaper... And, you know, file the thumb off and just make him have rounded nubs so you don't have to.
That's what I was thinking of doing, actually. But
I haven't looked at the mold. I haven't looked at that figure in a while, so I don't know what that would look like. That's just off the top of my head. But that is a possibility, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that it's cleared up now, though. So we know everything about Punch Counterpunch, more or less. Like, that was, I think, the last real mystery about him, aside from what the head will look like when it's fully sculpted. And it sounds like they did it to focus the budget on the head, and I'm glad about that because the head is more important than the hands. So
yeah, I agree. I agree. It is sad, but like we said, the hands you can do something with. The head you couldn't.
Yeah.
So if the head was horrible, you're stuck with that. And at the very least, you can swap the hands.
And when the club doesn't do a head well for me, it always really doesn't work. So I'm glad they're.
But it's kind of funny because Counterpunch was supposed to be the exclusive from. Like last year, and Cyclonus was this year, but since Counterpunch didn't come out, it looks like we're getting two this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I right on that?
I think you are right. Yeah.
Okay.
Seth, did you have anything you wanted to bring up about these club toys? Are you digging any of them? Or,
well, I'm just as excited as anybody about the Punch Counterpunch. I mean, forget about it. Forget about it. That's got to happen. I don't have any real kind of interest in the Shattered Glass stuff at all. So, even though an Orin Cyclonus is appropriately weird, it's not something I'm gonna spend a bunch of money on.
All right. Speaking of stuff you're thinking of spending money on, was there anything in the new picks in this last week or so that you'd like to talk about that you may spend money on or not? How about that kite?
Yeah, you know, kites can be fun. Looking at the front page here, there's this really awesome picture of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah! Art thou bored?
I don't know, this... There's just not much super interesting going on. I mean, we got this, Japanese release of Starscream and...
Oh, the animated stuff.
Brighter colors.
Yeah, more blue.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it's kind of... These side-by-side pictures that we have up here on the front page, you kind of get a look. I mean, just from the thumbnail, the first time I saw the thumbnail from the front page, I thought it was a... I thought the story was going to be about a Thundercracker. Like, oh, they're doing Thundercracker? Oh, no.
How about the okay. Grimlock as well? They made everything a little bit G1 poppier on him. More bright gold and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm plenty happy with the color schemes that I already have.
Mm.
But yeah, I think I like the redone Grimlock more than the redone Starscream.
Yeah,
but you know, whatever.
All right.
At least
he's not all chrome. Oh my god, they should have completely chromed him out like the Masterpiece Grimlock. That's what they should have done. Then I would have been super stoked.
Gog, you wanted to bring some up?
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta sneeze.
Oh dear.
The Macho Man.
Achoo! Oh, it's coming and going. I guess not.
I hate those so much. I hate those so much.
But just in regards to something that you were talking about last week, I did put in my pre-order for Masterpiece Ghost Starscream.
Good man. Good man.
So,
no one will take better pictures. That's all I'm going to say.
the clear figures are so hard, though, because you don't just light them and take... You have to, like, have the light going through them to make them look cool, so...
Mm.
It's a lot more effort.
Random question for you about his aesthetics. How do you feel about the white hands over the blue hands?
I don't care. I mean, it doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, it's... Whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's, you know, it's kind of funny how the deluxe is approaching the price that this is going to be. is going to be only like $30 more than the retail of the original one, I think, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than that, whatever. But I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm thankful for how cheap it is being an eHobby exclusive.
Definitely, yeah.
Myself, I mean, for $120
compared to King Grimlock.
For an eHobby masterpiece.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. So, I'm pleasantly surprised that they didn't try to charge like $200, $250 for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Actually, going off of what you're talking about with Starscream, the thing I wanted to bring up was TF Source has done another, I gotta say, you know, they do some really technically sound video reviews, and they've done some coverage for that the classic Starscream coronation set that I think the entire internet forgot was coming out. And the only thing I really want to bring up in that is, like, aside from them showing that you got to, like, replace a piece on him and people are going, like, oh my god, disassembly. And I watched the video and it's like, even though the dude in the video says it's disassembly, it's barely disassembly and it's hardly permanent. But the thing that I did think was interesting was it comes with a new head to turn Starscream into Leader 1. And that is actually one of the coolest little bonuses I've seen in a long time, because it's like, you know, it's only there for people who do full-on customization. But I really like that they were like, okay, we've got, like, room in the blister with all these shoulder pads and things. Leader 1 head! Why not? I like that.
I hadn't seen the video.
Oh, on the front page, the thumbnail for the video shows him holding a Leader 1 head. And it's literally like you can if you disassemble his if you disassemble his torso, you can slot that Leader 1 head in instead and like repaint him. And I actually really like that. That kind of makes me want to try that custom because I like me some GoBots, and I'd like to give that a try. The video also showed, you know, the set on various different versions of the mold, and it only really looks at its best on the Universe Classics version. So. There is that, but it was an interesting video, and it's more third party stuff.
I found the part in the video with Leader 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really approve of that idea because I've been thinking it would be great to see kind of updated versions of some of the GoBots.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, Leader 1 and Psykill.
And it's pretty close. Like, it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty close in hue to the kind of whitish-gray on that classic Starscream. So it's like they give you the basis to go, like, if you have another one, you can swap this head in and do some repainting or whatever, and at least you don't have to worry about making the head look right. So if this company, I can't remember who it is that did this one, but if these guys make it their thing where it's like we release stuff that's kind of kitbashy, and then every time we put out a release, we throw in a spare part that's kind of neat. I think that'd actually be a really cool kind of company gimmick. But really a Radicon's thing. I thought it was neat.
I think it's neat too.
Good man.
I think it's super neat.
It's also worth mentioning. This is kind of picks, but I don't really want to talk about them because this is the kind of details that I'm not super like into. But there have been scans posted from the 1986 Hasbro Toy Fair catalog. It was the result of a charity drive between TFWiki and the AllSpark, and they raised $2,340 for Hasbro Children's Hospital. So mucho applause for that. But if you want to see like some older test shot versions of toys, like fully unpainted cup and stuff like that, it's a pretty interesting thing. If you're into like hardcore details of stuff like that, it's nice to see more of these resources being made available. The only other thing I can say is Japanese animated Lugnut is a super disappointment. But moving on from new picks, kind of heading into the realm of Seth's other podcasting job, we have a bunch of War for Cybertron updates. So I guess I'll just jump on each of these one at a time. Let's start off with the multiplayer details. You'll apparently be able to create your own Transformer. I'm assuming they say you pick one of the existing classes and you can kind of customize the look a little bit. I'm thinking like new heads, maybe like what kind of car or jet. But what do you guys think about them trying to make the multiplayer thing more of like when you create your own class or something, like making it so the multiplayer is more about you than about established characters? GOG?
Still sneezing. Go to Buzz.
Oh, dear. Seth Buzzard.
He hasn't longest stopped since the last time he spoke.
Longest sneeze in history.
He's like a maniac.
Like, pretty much.
God bless the mute button.
Yeah, with the customizing, I feel a little disappointed that you can't have a custom character for single player. That would have been really great to be able to go through the campaign as your own character. But I'm guessing there's probably a lot of story structure that requires certain characters in certain places, and like this level, you need to be able to fly, so you can't have a sports car guy. But character customizing is always fun, even if it's not really any kind of big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some games, customizing is just, here's four heads to choose from and five outfits. So I'm going to wait and see, like, what level of customizing you get. Like, is it going to be like a Mass Effect where you have a couple dozen sliders where you could adjust all kinds of details? Or is it just a couple body types and you can set color schemes?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see, but it's better than no customizing, I guess.
It's definitely something that's going to help out the multiplayer for me, because Revenge of the Fallen's multiplayer, which to me was actually pretty fun sometimes, it's also like really kind of boring, because all you see is like hundreds of the same established existing, like you see three Optimus Primes running around on the battlefield, yeah, and you're like, what? Or you see two Optimus Primes flanked by a Jet Prime fighting like three Megatrons, and one of the Megatrons is like ground, the other two are flying. It's just like, it's weird. So definitely works out for me. And I agree with you, actually, that it would have been nice if this could have been implemented in the single player, but I'd share your thoughts on the storytelling aspects. GOG, are you still sneezing?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. What do you think about the...
I feel the same thing, same way Seth does. It's... I'm going to have to wait and see how in detail they go with the whole customized thing. You know, if it's just like pop a new head, you just choose a body and choose a head. I mean, if there's certain things you can do, like if they have a bunch of different, you know, like maybe textures or panel lines you can choose from, and like if it's just like choose an upper torso, choose a bottom torso. If they have like, if it gets in depth, like choose feet, choose hands. You know, does he have like regular hands? Does he have a gun arm?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they get it, if they do it right, it could be pretty interesting, but. Just, I don't know. I mean, well, there's nothing to really say yet. It's something to take a look at. But I think I'm more interested in the single player, more so. And I think it is. I think like Seth, I am a little disappointed that there's no like campaign mode for the multiplayer character you can create. Because I don't know. Like I've again, like it's funny how Mass Effect keeps coming up, but. It's just like with all the choices that they give you, you know, it's like games are really starting to evolve with the choices and stuff that you can make, and coming back to something kind of limited is kind of disappointing sometimes. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I keep a cautious eye on it. I mean, they had something similar in the DS game.
Way back.
More of the original movie. 2007 DS game, and but that was more of a just you scan a new mode and then now you're a whole predetermined character, so I guess it's not really the same thing.
The other thing that the DS games did actually relevant to this is that their single player stories were entirely based on the idea that you were this create your own character transformer, and the story modes actually I really liked in the DS games, aside from having some really decent voice acting. The endings I kind of enjoyed, even if they were a little bit of a downer on both ends.
But I think one thing that they could have done is, yeah, okay, like Seth said, you can have your single-player campaign where you have to play as certain characters because that's the way the story's going, and from what we've already heard, you know, the first half of the game you play as the Decepticons, as various characters depending on the level you're playing, then the second half of the game you play as the Autobots, again, switching characters depending on what chapter you're on. And I think it would have been cool if they had maybe just a smaller single player, a second campaign where you can take your own character through and maybe see like some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, like play as a grunt and like walk around, like have a walk around level where you're just walking through a base, hearing all the people talking about what's going on or something like that.
Well, even just a smaller, the best thing that I can think of is like Resident Evil 4. You know, you play the entire game as Leon. But then, if you play any of the game besides the GameCube version, then it unlocks a campaign where you play as Ada, but you're seeing the stuff from behind the scenes. And it would have been neat if, like, okay, like you play the main game, but then there's like a smaller campaign where you get to see stuff from, you know, some like a this just regular grunt, you know, just some foot soldier who's not you know any high rank in the Autobots or Decepticons or whatever, and. Just you get to play as your character and then see maybe a different perspective on the events of the game. And maybe you're actually doing stuff like support work in the background while the main storyline is still going on. But that would have been an excuse to be able to allow you to import that character and make it feel like you're doing something other than just, you know, running around and shooting somebody in a multiplayer setting.
And just a slight skew, but I also want to add, this is the kind of speculation that I enjoy that we can get from this kind of thing that we wouldn't be getting from Transformers 3 rumors, just to clear that up a little bit more. We should move along, though, because there's two other big, quote-unquote big War for Cybertron updates. The other one is we saw a new trailer that has some of the first gameplay footage of the console versions. And I'm curious what you guys think. Seth, what do you think about the gameplay trailer?
Well, just from like the quick cuts and little bits, it kind of looks, at least just from looking, I'm guessing it's going to play similar to like the Revenge of the Fallen game, where it's that third person running around and gunning kind of thing, and not so much like Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of third-person shooter.
It didn't look Gears of War at all, really, to me in the trailer.
Yeah, you're not going to be getting undercover, like press A to get undercover and pop up and shoot and duck and move up and it looks like it's more run and gun, run and punch, quick action kind of a thing, which I guess is to be expected. I was kind of hoping that they were going to, you know, try to like branch off and do something a little more original with the franchise or in a game setting, but I don't know. I just hope it feels better than past games. Mm. And there was so much hope to be had because, like, we got to see this interview with one of the designers from Machinima.com, where this dude is clearly super into it. Like, he is so excited to have been working on this game, and he's so fired up for it. And knowing the backstory about how these guys went to Hasbro to say, hey, let us make a game, instead of Hasbro just going, oh, we need somebody to make a game.
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would try to do something more original. But, I mean, as long as they do it better, then that's an improvement, and that will be appreciated.
And they did share the sentiment in an interview where they said that they weren't trying to make the best Transformers game. They were trying to make a good game about Transformers, which I thought was an important thing to bring up. Like, they weren't trying to say, we're going to make a game that's better than all the other Transformers games. They're like, we're going to make a good game that is about Transformers. So they're not trying to say, like, we're gonna outdo the somewhat low bar that's been set.
And there's an inherent difficulties with doing a game based on a franchise like Transformers, where you have so many characters and everybody has their favorite, and characters can be range pretty wildly in what they would be capable of doing. Like, Bumblebee can't do nearly anything that Starscream can do. So that's where you're going to get into trouble with, like, what we would have loved to have seen, where you could create your own character and play the whole game with your own original character.
Mm-hmm.
They have to cater to the people that love Bumblebee, love Optimus Prime, and they want to play as those characters. Yeah, but you can't just do one character. And then I think kind of hurts the storytelling, where when you're not one character all the way through, it's like, oh, now you're this guy, now you're this guy, now you're this guy.
Yeah, well, that's the storytelling, I guess, is going to be the next thing to see, unless they do some more gameplay stuff. GOG, how do you feel about the gameplay we've seen so far?
It looks pretty. I mean, it is a pretty game. It has the style where it's very, and I think most people have construed this already from the stills we've gotten. And just the overall aesthetic that we've seen so far, but it has the really dark lighting with the very like bright kind of neon, you know, like just like hyper saturated colors that are just popping out of the darkness, and it looks good. Like I mean, what we've seen has been, you know, just kind of, at least what I've seen, unless something else has come out that I missed, is just kind of just short little 3-second clips kind of edited together here and there through the video.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a nice looking game so far. I have been pleasantly surprised. We'll wait and see how this is going to turn out. You know, if it's a good game, you know, I trust Seth's judgment on this stuff for the most part. He seems to judge things with a fairly balanced pair of eyeballs.
Yeah.
So, if there's something good to be found, I have faith that Seth will say, you know, for all its flaws, this was good, and whether it makes it, you know, worth the effort to acquire the game and pay money for it and take time out of your day to play it, I think I will go off of what he's saying. What consoles are okay? It's definitely PS3
it's out
and
for all
Xbox.
Of them, I think. Except it's everything but the Wii, I think.
Have they said, is there going to be like a PC version, or is it just consoles?
I thought they said there's going to be a PC version.
Was there not a Wii version?
I could have sworn one of the usual ones wasn't on the list, but it was either the Wii or the PC, and I'm really sure a PC had a version. No, I'm not sure. I should check with those fine boys over at Gamepads Unplugged.
Well, if there's a Wii version, I wouldn't be surprised if it was fairly different.
Okay.
Oh, it says, okay, I'm on Wikipedia. It says it's for Windows, PS3, Xbox, and Wii. It's all four.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Wii version was a little different.
Yeah.
Like how the Ghostbusters game, like the Wii version, had a very different graphical style.
Well, the Revenge of the Fallen game on the Wii was completely different from the 360 or the PS3 ones. Like, I think it was even a different developer.
Oh, Nintendo. You gotta make it hard on developers.
You gotta shake the remote. You gotta work that in somewhere. Shake the remote and draw Zeds on the screen.
Nobody wants HD graphics.
Myself, when I saw that trailer, okay, here's the thing. I felt really bad about this, but I thought it in my head right away, and I want to say it on here just to kind of like penance and show how much of a jerk I am. But the moment I watched that trailer and they showed everyone transformed to roll out, I was like, man, they cheated on those transformations. And I know they have to, but I still, for some reason, it's the first thing I thought, and I felt like a jerk afterwards. But
yeah, well, one thing on the transformations, and when we discussed the trailer in some depth on in that other podcast, Gamepads Unplugged. Dan and I, the way they transform, like the way you see like Bumblebee's in enough car mode to where he's peeling out and racing away, and some panels are still sort of flipping down and shifting into place, that is very reminiscent to me of how the transformations work in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sound effects, like especially every time you've seen Omega Supreme, when his gun hand is spinning around and getting ready to shoot, like it has that kind of movie sound scheme of like the kind of powering up kind of noise. So
yeah,
they're definitely taking some cues from the movie.
Yeah, definitely. And I just felt bad when I said it, because I know that there are perfectly good reasons for them, especially in the gameplay itself, to just do some model swapping and stuff like that. But outside of that, I thought the game looked like it could be pretty exciting. Although, like, whenever I see gameplay without the user interface on it, I always kind of have this feeling where I'm like, I don't know how doctored this is. Not like faked, but just how selectively the footage was chosen. But it does look like there's some pretty
There's been times in the past where they've put out screenshots or video of other games where it's like, this is gameplay footage, this is in-engine footage, but like the HUD is completely gone.
Yeah.
And it's technically, this is gameplay footage, but the camera is positioned in places it's never going to be positioned in the actual game.
Yeah, and whenever
they try to make things look better.
Whenever that's specifically called gameplay footage, I always kind of go like, a little glancing to the side, kind of like, well, it's gameplay engine, but it's not really gameplay footage. But I do like the look of what looks like the boss fight with Omega Supreme. That looks like it could be pretty fun. So it's
I'm just worried from that shot that it looks like Omega Supreme is very stationary, because he's like in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running around him. I have a bad feeling that the battle is he's kind of turning and he's powering up his gun, and while he's powering up the gun, you have time to like shoot the glowing weak spot, and then when he fires, then you dodge and you wait for him to stop shooting, and then you have time to shoot again. It doesn't look like it's a very dynamic battle.
I did like the look of what appears to be some kind of like magnet or tractor beam thing that he was using on some guy, where he like pulled their torso off. I didn't really catch all of it, but I only watched the trailer the one time because I didn't want to get it too ingrained in my head. But I'm looking forward to more trailers from the game. It's definitely caught my eye.
Who put Omega Supreme in the hole? Was it Buffalo Bill?
Yes.
put the allspark in the basket.
Moving along to the last bit of War for Cybertron info. This is the least exciting one for most people, but for me, I'm actually still a little bit jazzed about it. It's the info on the DS version by Vicarious Visions. And there's going to be Autobot and Decepticon versions, which I kind of expected, because that seems to be the paradigm for selling DS anything, is if you can sell like a red version and a blue version, or a pearl or a diamond or whatever, is to do that. And each version will apparently have a total of 15 playable characters, many of which you unlock during play, either by finding secrets or through the multiplayer mode. That kind of worries me, because unless you can do online multiplayer, I'm going to be probably really stuck for that. But it also mentions that there's going to be this player swapping system, where there's a little bit of puzzle solving, where you basically play as two characters and you swap between them. Grimlock is in it, Jetfire is in it. It's in 3D on the DS. I'm tentatively hoping it turns out pretty well, but I was kind of disappointed with the Revenge of the Fallen DS games. From everything I heard, they'd kind of lost the magic that the first movie ones had. Gog, how do you feel about the DS war for Cybertron?
It sounds neat. I like how they seem to do different things with the DS. Like, they take a gamble and they're like, well, we're going to make our mainline games, and obviously you can't have that experience on the DS. So we're going to try to create like an entirely different experience on this handheld platform, which is, I mean, that's good. They're not trying to replicate, you know, the third person, you know, graphical, you know, masturbatory fest like they're having on the mainline, you know, platform. So it's, I like how in the direction they're going. Again, we'll see. I have my DS. I'm hoping, when does that DS XL come out? DSi XL? That's pretty soon, right?
Gamepad's unplugged.
Yeah. I don't know the exact date, but Nintendo showed it at this event that they had. I think it was just last week.
Yeah,
where the only things that they were showing were things coming out the first half of the year or so.
Right. Yeah.
So within a few months.
Yeah. So that I still have a Generation 1 DS. I never upgraded to the Lite because I liked the way that the old one felt, even though the screen sucks and you can't play it in any amount of daylight whatsoever. But yeah, this. When I get my new XL, I might have to try this out.
XL is really interesting looking to me. I actually posted on GamePadsUnplugged.com's blog with a comment about it. I like how dangerous it looks.
The DSi itself didn't feel like any of the updates. Okay, it has a camera. So what? My cell phone has a camera.
Well, I was saying that about the camera until I saw that demo of the game that uses the camera to mimic a 3D background, and I was like, that is actually legitimately pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's cool stuff, but there hasn't been anything that grabs me that says that I need to have this, or I need a game that uses this technology. Like, I like the direction that it's going. I'm sure eventually games will take advantage of it. But as of right now, there's no reason for me to go out and drop money on it at this time. But with the XL, how much bigger it is, you know, that is enough. The DS, after three or four updates from the original, finally, I'm like, well, okay, now I think I'll get one. Because I like the DS. I like the platform. And I haven't so much lately played a lot of games on it, but I do have a lot of DS games, and I like simple, fun, you know, games, which the DS provides en masse. So, yeah, we'll see. I'll pick it up, probably. I mean, unless the reviews come out and it's like 2 out of 10, you know, probably then I won't waste my money, but we'll see. I'll look forward to seeing how it turns out.
All right. And Seth, how do you feel about the DS war for Cybertron?
I'm really kind of cold on portable games right now. I think both systems have aged, like both
stagnated.
The DS and the PSP. I think if either company were to do a new handheld just the quality of the visuals would be much better than what they're doing right now. The one concern that I have about the DS XL though is the screens are bigger, yeah, but it doesn't, there's no better resolution. It's just going to blow up that image.
Yeah, but they're so small as it is. Like that, it, I don't know. It doesn't, I'm aware of that, but it just, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not blowing up so much that it becomes a graphical problem. Because, like, with my PSP, I have the cable that, so you could plug it into a TV and play on a TV screen. And some games, that's not a friend. the bigger you make that picture.
Yeah, a TV blowing up, that's, I mean, that's exponentially larger than the modest upgrade of the XL screen. But I understand what you're saying. I just, a TV is like an extreme example. If you were to play a DS game on a straight up television, yeah. But I mean, the XL screen is not even approaching that size.
Right, and this is the sort of game where it's going to have to be a deal of when it comes out. If there's a lot of buzz around it, if there's a lot of positive talk, I'll probably end up checking it out then. It's not something I'm anticipating. It's not something I'm going to run out and lay down money for a pre-order on. I have a DSi. I'm not 100% sure of where it is right now because I've not touched it in a really long time. I really kind of wish I didn't buy it. I've used it so little, and I had a perfectly functional... I've had every iteration of the... Oh, no. I went from the original DS to the DSi.
I picked up a DS Lite first, and I think that, like, because of that, I haven't felt the need to look at the other versions, because I can see why you need to move on from the original DS, but, like, especially for someone with a DS Lite, the DSi was just kind of like, I just don't see what I'm getting aside from maybe a really cool software store.
I still think that the original DS, just the way that the thing is built like a tank. And I just love the rounded edges on it. My roommate got a DS Lite when it came out. And it's just like everything is just sharper. The buttons seem smaller. I don't know. It's just the original design, the way it felt and it feels in your hands to me is perfect. It's just that, you know, especially having an iPhone now. I mean, you compare the brightness on the iPhone to the original DS. It's as if the DS doesn't even have a backlight. It's like you're playing a Game Boy Advance. I mean, I'm serious. Unless you're playing it in a dark room, you can't see the screen. And that's just, I mean, that thing has been out since 2004. You know, so it's forgivable. I mean, the original DS is old, but so I have to. I mean, if I want to continue playing DS games and not feel frustrated, there comes a point where I need to, but I don't like the way the DS felt. The DSi, none of those features I really cared about. So the only thing for me is the size and shape of the
XL.
DSi XL is more appealing to me than any of the other kind of reimaginings of the DS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Nintendo showed a DSiWare game, which are cheap little downloady games, and most of them are garbage. And this one's probably kind of garbage. It's just a very simple side-scroller, beat-em-up kind of game. But with the camera, you take pictures of yourself or friends in a bunch of poses, and then those are the characters in the game. And then you record little bits of audio that are... So, like, when you throw a fireball, you record a little bit of audio for what you want the character to say when he throws the fireball. Or when you kill an enemy, you record a little bit of dialogue for what they say when you kill the enemy.
It's kind of cool. That's like a simplified version of the Mugen thing that used to be huge back in the day. But all that aside, that's some coverage on War for Cybertron, something we're still keeping our eyes on because it is Transformers and video games, and that's always exciting. Usually up until the game comes out, and then sometimes it takes a bit of a downward spiral, but we'll see how that goes. Anyway, let's take a quick intermission, then we'll be back to talk more Transformers with Use All.
Humans are disappearing. That can't happen. Now, the fate of humanity lies in the hands of an assassin. A savage. A loyalist. psychopath. They don't expect us to survive, but that never stopped me before.
Assemble your team. Fight for the lost. Rated M for mature.
Hey, we're back with WWF at TFW. Oh, I stole that from Seth.
Yeah, you did. Like everything else.
That's right.
Everything else in my life. Take.
I just visit like Seth and I with a cherry picker and a garbage bag. I'm like, what can I take? I'll take this. I'll take this. We're going to talk to you about what we got this week. And I'd like to hear what Seth got so I can take it.
Ooh. Well, thanks to our own Gog Dog, who's the Robin Hood of toy redistribution.
How many of them was it? Seven, you said? That you
battling yes, the scalpers of Nottingham.
I've acquired 7 animated RCs and 5 animated Ratchets to give to people. So,
but you also, give. Yeah, I mean, you have me. Given. You have
plus,
given
and they're
that.
Paying shipping, but I'm not. You know, I'm not scalping them. I'm not making any profit on them or anything.
But what I mean is, should we say now that people should avoid PMing you saying, "Hey, you got any spare RCs? Can you sell me?"
Yeah, I mean, I'm a nice guy, but I'm burned out. So don't. I'm burned out. I've made many trips to Toys R Us because my Toys R Us, there are a couple around me, and one of them is an oasis for these figures. Every day that I've gone into there, they have been completely restocked. I mean, I've bought 7 RCs. I've probably seen 15. So, and I'll go in the next day, they're gone. Go in the next day, they're restocked. I mean, and there's people that have never seen these things, so I feel bad. And there's other people still that they have scalpers that are at the door every single day. And as soon as they open, they buy every one of those figures and put them on eBay. And it's really sad. Yeah, and they need to be kicked in the dick.
I'm hearing that Seth has got one of these.
Right. So I got an email from Gog saying, "Hey, there's a couple right here. Do you want them?" And I thought, well, that...
An email? You got a phone call, son. I left a voicemail on your iPhone.
Yep. I didn't answer because I was working. And I went, "I don't recognize that phone number. Who the hell is calling me?
You don't have me on your contact list from BotCon?"
I don't know.
What a dick. I regret even sending these to you now.
No, it just displayed the phone number. It didn't say.
Because you don't have my number saved. Because you're a dick.
When? Because you never called me.
Talk about your toys.
We communicate in emails and Twitters because I hate text messaging because it is damned expensive and ridiculously priced. It's a scam, people. Don't pay it. Anyway.
I agree.
So, anyway, there was a phone call message, and I went, well, yeah, because it's kind of a hassle to get to a Toys R Us, even though they exist. It's very out of the way. And it really sucks going to a store looking for an exclusive that isn't on the shelf yet or been scalped all to hell. So I went, yeah, all right, well, that'll make it easier. We'll do that. So I have RC and Ratchet here. Ending my several episode long drought of new Transformers. I'm going to talk about Ratchet first, because I don't like him so much. He's not really bad. Oh, RC. he's not horrible. I think this mold is going to look cooler as Ironhide.
I'll give it that.
I agree.
The bit in between his upper and lower arms that's kind of the rest of his arm and a really gigantic elbow, I guess, kind of makes him seem kind of gangly and thin, just the way that little bit in the middle works. But, I mean, he's kind of cool. The vehicle mode kind of has too many open gap kind of spaces. It doesn't quite look completely together.
I had the same complaint until I looked up some footage of him, and in the cartoon he basically looks the same. So I was like, well, at least they're accurate.
Yeah. I think I like the Earth mode Ratchet a bit better. I'm super happy that they did this, though. it's neat having young Ratchet and old Ratchet, and with a head swap coming at some point, Ironhide. So it's all good. It's just maybe not the best Ratchet. It is a perfectly fine Ratchet. But the big deal, if I could move the cat out of the way, is, did you hear him?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like being moved by anyone. Yeah, so the big deal is RC. And she is really, really nice. I really dig her. I've just been messing with her this whole time. Everything was completely appropriate in the butt boards. Just putting her in different poses. You put her in all kinds of cool poses. I like the articulation in her leg. How her little feet twist. So you can put her in some pretty dynamic, dramatic, like, I got my swords at the ready. Let's do this kind of Japanese style, heavy lean kind of poses. With her long neck, gives her head lots of range. The only thing kind of lacking in her head, I think, is you can't really, like, tilt her head side to side. Like, you can't put her with her head cocked to the side.
Yeah.
If I'm articulating that well enough. But, you know, that is a small squabble. One really minor, on the level of nitpicking, complaint for her design, or not design, but just where they position one thing. The tabs that the wing pieces pop on and off of, on the packaging pictures, they're much lower. So when you have the wings on her robot mode, they look more compact and not as gigantic, huge, the hanging off her.
Yeah.
Than they do in the actual toy, where they're much higher up. Like,
yeah, about if, as if high you, up as if they you, get. If you compare the photos on the back of the card to the photo of the actual toy, there are many, many, many mold changes. Like, on all parts, you can find them in the legs, but especially the shoulder pads where the wings connect. There are a lot of differences. They really remolded the toy from the prototype quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's still really good. And I would like a time machine and go back to BotCon and see what the differences are, like, what differences were made from what was in the display case at BotCon and other places that it was witnessed, mm-hmm. to the final release. Just didn't think to... There's no way to have thought to have looked for certain specifics and then locked that into memory.
None of us were going like, hey, those little flaps on the legs, I wonder what those look like in particular.
Yeah, gotta remember, where are these tabs located?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the windshield for the vehicle mode at all hanging off her butt. I mean, it tucks away enough. Like, there's been a lot of characters that has had something hanging low off their back in between their legs that is just really... Yeah. It's not out of the way enough in robot mode to not be weird. But her windshield is away enough to where, looking at her straight on, it's not like this giant thing hanging out.
The best part of that is, if you, depending on how you position it, because there's an Autobot logo on the windshield, it looks like she has an Autobot logo tramp stamp. And I was so proud when I saw that. I was like, yeah, dude. And I went straight to the feedback thread, and somebody had posted it like 2 days before. I was like, oh, I totally came up with that on my own. But I couldn't claim it because somebody else found it. But I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, and I want to do some of those repaints that Evangelist talked about, like putting the black around her eyes. And then just briefly, in non-Transformer toy news, I got 4 of the Iron Man 2 figures.
I saw! Crimson Dynamo got me really excited.
And I'll roll through them real quick. So I got Iron Man based on, like, early appearance, like, first appearance style Iron Man. Although they didn't put the little antenna on his shoulder, that goofy ass antenna on his shoulder, that would have been awesome. But you know, you can't have everything in life. That one's pretty good. Nothing really stands out about him as being especially excellent or especially bad. He, just if you like that old gray, bulky Iron Man from the past, like it is cool. I got the War Machine, which I think is great. Like his shoulder weapons, the missile launcher and Gatling gun, they have a pivot where you could flip them back so they're not sticking up over his shoulders and they're kind of more on his back out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who has a problem with the way his shoulders work. Like his shoulders are on little hinges and not attached to the arm.
It's so a small problem.
They get up out of the way, but this person was all like, I hate it! They stick on!
I didn't say I hated it.
I didn't say it was you.
I liked
maybe it. Maybe I was talking about somebody else. What do you think? Why does everything got to be about you?
Because we had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah, and then why I appreciate that, as opposed to another option I'll get to in a second. But and it does look kind of goofy. They kind of look like these big bubbles sort of just hanging on shoulders if you put his arms up. But I thought they did a fantastical job with War Machine. Then I also got the... What was the other one? The Crimson Dynamo.
Yes!
I think I would have remembered that. Huh?
I said you got movie War Machine too, right?
No. I'll get to that. That was the one I'm saving for the end. So Crimson Dynamo is nice. Similar with the classic first appearance style Iron Man. There's nothing really out of bounds awesome or really horrible. It's just everything is done well. Everything is good. And it's one to consider picking up, especially if you're Vangelis. And
I like me some Crimson Dynamo.
Right, and he comes with this big kind of rubbery laser eyeball thing
that
wraps all the way around his head to be secured on. And then the last one I got was the Mark IV movie style Iron Man, and don't get it unless you're a completionist. The sculpt is great. The armor looks great. There's all this tiny detail that they did a fantastic job. The articulation is horrible, though. He has all the points of articulation you would want, all the types of ball joints and sockets and everything you would want. But the way the armor on his shoulders is and on his elbows and on his legs, the armor pieces block movement. So he has a joint where you can move his arm around all kinds of great places, but the bits of armor keep you from moving them at full range. And his head is sort of stuck in a chin-down position, and there's no way to level his head up. So he's always kind of looking down like Tony's really depressed today. And he's like, oh, I guess I gotta keep being Iron Man. And the joint in his chest, like that G.I. Joe style, not at the waist, kind of up the torso joint, is super loose. Just flopping around all over the place. And it's a real shame that the articulation is so bad or so screwed up, because the sculpting is so great. The colors are so great on it. And then they blew it with the articulation, in my opinion. If you don't care about articulation, then you'll be happy.
Yeah.
If you care about articulation, you're going to be sad.
Does it look like it's something you could fix by like slicing the armor up or anything like that? Or?
No, because everything is so small at that scale. I would be concerned with if you start filing or shaving, you could really easily go too far and cut off a big chunk.
Yeah.
I'd have to take a closer look at it, but stick with like the comic book style one seems to be the way to go right now.
All right.
Gog, what did you get this week?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I misunderstood you because I thought, I think when you said the same complaints to me on, I think it was AIM, but you said movie War Machine, so I think you accidentally typed that. Yeah, so I was all worried about it, but then I saw it, and I was like, but it looks so cool, and I bought it anyway. But the movie War Machine, the mold is awesome. Like, it looks cool, but if you look at any of the art, he has the same weapons, the same shoulder weapons as the comic War Machine. He's got a Gatling gun on his left shoulder, and he's got like the parallelogram missile launcher thing on his right shoulder. But the movie War Machine doesn't come with the missile launcher. It comes with the cannon Gatling gun, and it comes with a huge oversized Gatling gun, which is the same thing, just bigger, so it can shoot a missile. So,
I have comic book style War Machine.
Yeah, no, I have that too. I bought that weeks ago, and I just never brought it up on here because I had too much other stuff. But I got the
movie.
I am. So
talk about Rhodey.
Yeah, I own both War Machines, and I bought the Mighty Mugs movie War Machine. So I'm a huge racist. But the he doesn't come with the missile launcher. The movie one doesn't come with the missile launcher. It comes with the two mounting points, and they work the same as the comic one, where you can slide them up and down. But the only thing you can do is put two of the same cannon on him, and one is just oversized to shoot a missile. It's like super deformed. So it's really strange. I was disappointed that it didn't come with the missile launcher, but other than that, it's pretty cool. But I actually got quite a bit of Transformers in this 2 week period. I also got Ratchet and RC animated. I like Ratchet more than Seth does. I think his robot mode is really cool. His vehicle mode is kind of like whatever. Like I said, I went and looked it up to see how accurate it was, and there were lots of kind of hollow spaces from the pictures that I saw. So I was like, well, I mean, it does look accurate, except for maybe the way the legs fold up on the inside of the rear treads. But the amusing thing to me is the Earth mode Ratchet. He's kind of got this scowl, like he's just kind of like. Eh. But the young one, they inverted it, so he's smiling. So I got a kick out of that. Like they actually made a happy Ratchet, young and happy. But RC is amazing. The only thing that's kind of bothering me is. Everyone is getting stress marks on the inside of her hands when they put the swords in. And I was kind of bragging in the feedback thread about how it didn't happen to mine. And I checked a few days later and they were there.
So. It's really tricky to get those in. Cause even I heard from Super Quad 7 that even if you top load them, like back when me and Omegas were talking about it,
that's the only way that I can get the swords in is top loading them. If I put them in, I tried to put them in the other way and they didn't go. And I was like, I'm not even going to force it. So I put it in through the top and they went in fine.
Yeah.
I've only heard of one. I don't think it's going to be an actual problem with it breaking. There was only one dude that I read, unless more have happened since I browsed the thread, but there was only one guy that it happened to, and it happened the first time he put the sword in. So either he had a defective one or he did something really bad. But
it is really easy to screw it up because you can see, like I think a lot of people who didn't go out and read the threads first were probably trying to front load them in, and I can see that really messing them up, but the top loading is still kind of tight.
Yeah, I've never front-loaded them. I've always top-loaded them, and I did eventually get the mark, so whatever. I mean, as long as it doesn't break, I don't care. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me, but I just hope nothing happens. But yeah, RC is awesome. Just looking at some of the pictures, especially the way that the legs, like the front shins, kind of have this open spot. And yeah, there's a little flap you can put over, but, you know, it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
Yeah, the flap doesn't quite cover as much as you would want.
It doesn't, but it looks a whole lot better in hand than it does in the pictures. And I was really worried that I was going to get RC and it was going to be cool to have a novelty of owning an animated RC. You know, it's the first ever G1-esque, you know, RC official toy that we've ever gotten, as far as I know, unless I'm having a brain fart. But I was expecting to like it just for that reason, and I was very pleasantly So
supplies.
It was yeah. I like this. The only thing that I don't like about the figure is the wings. I think they look cool in vehicle mode, but that's it. There's no purpose for them in robot mode. They're horrible looking. It's just giant kibble off the back that it's not accurate. It doesn't look good. So I pretty much have just taken the wings and just kind of putting them in a box somewhere, and I don't even use them.
I just look at the wings.
She looks fine in vehicle mode without them.
I look at the wings as basically, to me, they're exactly the same purpose as Bumblebee's rockets. It's like, you can imagine they're like a jetpack or a booster pack, and then like when she goes to robot mode, she just ditches them.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't use them. Taking some photos in vehicle mode, they might serve a purpose, but I mean, she looks fine without them. Let me look at my list here. What else we get? Oh, how could I forget? Even team member Aaron. He is on hard crack. Like, he's not just smoking crack. He's smoking the bad stuff. Because there is no freaking way that Braun is better than Lockdown. There's no way. I like Braun. He's cool. He's just loaded with kibble. And you can make him look good, but he's got kibble all over that back. Lockdown is awesome. I like Lockdown a whole lot more than I was expecting. Do you have Lockdown, Vangelis?
No, I saw him in Richmond at a shop for $20, and I almost did it. Then I was like, I just don't want to do it for $20. Like, I wanted to wait to try to find him for a couple bucks less. I also just want to throw in, if people want to see when Gog and Aaron have a disagreement about a toy, you should subscribe to both of them on Twitter, because it's really fun to watch them when they have a disagreement like that.
But no, yeah. But I mean, in all joking aside, though, he does smoke crack. There's no
all joking aside. Just FYI, guys. PSA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try to have like an intervention for the guy, like, because he doesn't listen to me. So, you know, talk to his family, whatever. That's between you and him. I've done my part. But the thing about Lockdown is his neck is awesome. It has four joints just in the neck. It's got a swivel at the bottom, full 360 degrees. Then it has a ball joint right above that. Then it has a double ball joint. It's a double joint right above that. So there's a total of three ball and sockets and a swivel. And it is one of the most expressionable toys, Transformer-wise, that I've ever seen. And it's really cool. And I'm glad that they didn't waste this on a toy or a character that I didn't care about. And because I'm a huge Lockdown fan, love him from Animated, and I love the toy. And it's a shame, too, because I have read in the feedback thread, a lot of people are complaining that one of his arms just tends to be really loose or pop off very easily. I'm very thankful that mine does not have that problem.
Yeah.
If you're not careful while you're transforming him, his shoulders will pop off fairly easily, but it's more of a, because you're pulling them the wrong way while you're transforming him, once you get comfortable with where to slide the joints into place, because as we know from the famous stock photo, he's got one arm just kind of coming out of his hip. That's where that's where both of his shoulders start from in vehicle mode, and then you slide the shoulder joint up. And then into where they're supposed to be. So that is where they start from. And if you just pull it from the arm, it's going to pop off the socket. No questions asked. But if you just use your finger and slide it from the other part of the joint, it goes up with no problem. I don't mind the hook as much as I thought I was going to. The only thing that stinks is you can't let him like hang from anything. Like, you know, if you wanted to do like a funny picture with him, you know, hanging in and, you know, shooting from above or something, you can't do it. That floppy thing is not going to support his own weight, but it does hold its shape. It does hold its shape well. It looks good in photographs. And you know, so minus it not be him not being able to hang from it, there's really no downside to the bad hook, the flappy one. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me at all, but I love this figure. Unless I'm not thinking of something off the top of my head, it's probably my favorite deluxe from the entire Revenge of the Fallen line, like hands down, easily. It's so clean. Like everything, he's much like Animated Lockdown in the fact that when you transform him, there's no kibble. He looks good from, you know, just about any angle. If you bend his arm, there's a part where part of a windshield will stick out kind of funny. That's the only real just plain kibble on his body that doesn't look clean in robot mode. It's a very nice transformation that pays a really good homage to the original figure. But Braun is cool. You know, he's definitely a good deluxe. One of the better deluxes. I like him. I just don't think that he is a better toy than Lockdown by any means. And a lot of people disagree with me, and that's okay. But it is neat. Like you were talking last week about the
intentional transformation thing.
Yeah, to scratch my ear. Thanks. But
that was his ear.
That was my ear and my headphones. But you were talking about the with the animated figure with the interview about how you had like the signature weapons and how Prime like transforms like pulling his axe and that you know Braun is very reminiscent and purposefully from what I've heard from Hasbro like he transforms and his guns are already in his hands and you swing his arms down and boom he's ready for business and that is cool. Mm-hmm. That is very neat. I wish that they would have done more with the kibble on his back. With the arms, at least they fold up and become part of his arms. With the legs, you can, I want to give a shout out to, TFW member Mega Moon Man, because he was the first one that I saw do it where, you can transform the kibble on his legs and they just kind of, it's just kind of kibble sticking out the side of his legs. But if you flip it upside down, it perfectly, aligns to the legs to look like either just not like thick thighs, like an extension of the thigh, or just like straight up samurai armor on his legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost to the point where it looks like it might have been designed that way, and the stock photos are just wrong. So it's possible, but you can do everything with the kibble except for the stuff on his back just sticks out like butterfly wings, and it's really odd. And there's not a whole lot you can do with it, and I was kind of disappointed by that. But he's still a good figure. He's got a really cool head sculpt. I also got a Human Alliance Barricade.
So how do you like him after all the tribulations? And
he's definitely better than my initial rant that I had from the stock photos. Mm-hmm. He is a better toy than what Hasbro initially led us to believe. The hips are bad. They're not designed well.
Would you agree with Aaron's assessment about the almost intentional blocking of the joints?
No, it's blocked. Here's the thing. If you're into toys, especially Japanese toys besides Transformers, he's very reminiscent of early pre-Reveltech Kyoto brand action figures.
And
those are the reason I say that is because those were very much designed to have like a wide-legged A stance dynamic leg posing, and you couldn't put them in anything besides that. And Barricade is very similar to that in that if you really want his legs to look good, he needs to be like in those. It's kind of funny because the photos that I used as my pick of the week a few weeks ago, when we got in-hand photos from China, I said, wow, you know, he looks really dynamic. And that's because that's really about the only position you can get the legs in. And that's fine. He looks good. From what I've heard, there is some modifying that you can do from it, but he falls into the category of he really, 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 really needs a thigh swivel. Because otherwise, if you want to get him in certain poses, his thighs are either going to rotate extremely outboard or extremely inboard to where it looks like the outside of, or what's supposed to be the front of the thigh is going to be facing, you know, 45 to 90 degrees towards the inside of his legs, and the outside of his thigh is going to be pointing forward, or vice versa, you know, the other direction. It's kind of sad. So I know Aaron had said that he probably isn't going to bother with modifying it, but if I see a mod that is easy and gets results, I think I'm going to do it. It's just the fact that the hinges, the swivels for his hips are at a V angle. You know, it's not parallel. And with a thigh swivel, it would have worked, but it's the exact same problem I have with the robot replicas. I only bought the Starscream, and when I realized, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's got hip posability, except for there's no swivel, so the only thing you can do with the legs is like make him look like he's holding his knees together because he's about to piss himself. It's like, what's the point of even having hip swivel if that's all you can do with it? So Barricade's not that bad, but it's close. And you can make him stand straight up, except for his knees are going to be like really bent. And then he looks like he's got to take a dump. So other than that, he's great. He looks, the mold is great. The head is great. The head gimmick where he's talking looks cool.
I love that they're putting that into more of those. Like a button that makes the mouth move. Ever since Masterpiece Prime, I've loved that feature.
Yeah, and I like how all the figures so far... Well, I haven't seen Sideswipe. But all the other Human Alliance figures have had some sort of head gimmick. I mean, Bumblebee didn't have a mouth, but he had a visor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Sideswipe has, like, a half visor where it can raise up, but it can't actually fold down, so it's just, like, sticking up off his head like an antenna.
That's kind of doofy. Weird. But no, I mean, I don't regret getting him. He's cool. He just needs some improvement to be that, you know,
be all that he can be.
Live up to the Human Alliance standard.
Mm.
But like, I still don't understand how some people, I'm not going to mention their names, Razor Wire, but how some people said that he's the best. He blows Bumblebee out. No, he doesn't. He doesn't blow Bumblebee out of the water. I mean, certain parts of him do, but as a whole, I still think nothing has really lived up to the Bumblebee standard as far as Human Alliance goes.
Mm.
And the only other Transformer I got was Scout class Sky Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found Mindwipe yet, which, you know, it seems like everyone around me in my state has found him, but there hasn't been any around me at all.
I'm not even looking for him yet over here.
And I wasn't even sure if I was going to get him, but I got Sky Stalker, and I'm like, I might as well, whatever. But he's cool. He is a cool little scout. I found the whole wave at Target. Breakdown. I think Breakdown is ugly. I mean, I know people in the past have given us a hard time because we haven't given Breakdown the coverage he deserves. I mean, he's an ugly toy to me. The vehicle mode is kind of cool. He just looks like unpainted white plastic.
If I can jump on Breakdown for a sec. In my case, I really want to find him, but like, only because Breakdown, the original Breakdown, was one of my very first Transformers, and that's why I want to get him, because otherwise he looks to me like he's more so on the Dead End or Roll Bar scale of the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts. Like, not bad, just like not as creatively inspiring as some of the other ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't even like the mold. It just seems like hollowed out blocks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't dig it at all. The scatter shot seemed okay. The vehicle mode was kind of neat, but I don't know. I wasn't really into it. Dive Bomb, I think the Ransack paint job is superior. You know, it's got like the cool like weathering on it. Dive Bomb is just like bright red. Like,
I was kind of sad about that because it's such a great idea to redo him as the Red Baron, but then it's like, the weathering is what makes that biplane work so much better, because the paint then matches how old it looks, and losing the weathering kind of makes, like, I still want to get Dive Bomb because I love that mold, but making Dive Bomb be so kind of clean looking, I'm like, aw, like I want to get on there with a paint wash now. And
yeah, I just, they just knocked it out of the park with Ransack to the point to where I don't think they're ever going to topple that paint scheme. I mean, the silver paint on the head, the weathering on the wings.
And the earth tones, the, like, rusty earth tones all over them.
So, but no, Sky Stalker is cool. He's a neat little toy. Yeah, he's got the spring-loaded feet. I wish they would stop doing that.
I'm kind of getting over it, I admit. I've watched enough reviews of him to get over it.
I mean, it's not going to make me not buy a toy, but it's not, like, just give me a tight friction joint. That's all we need. There's no sense in putting a spring in the feet. It doesn't do anything with the transformation. It's not a necessity. I don't know why they do it, but whatever. It doesn't bother me that much. But
I remember they said that
my preferred way.
The way they worded it when they revealed him was he's going to have like a capture claw gimmick. So I figured there'd be like a button that would set it off. And like, I guess it's like they put it in there and then they couldn't budget the button in. So like, well, let's leave the spring.
I don't know. Well, the capture claw, you would think that meant that it would snap shut. Right?
Yeah, it's a thing.
But okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know, whatever. But no, he's cool. And the thing that I like is, okay, in the package, he's displayed with his he's got these weird parts of his wings that become like hatchets or something, sort of melee weapon. And I looked at it and I'm just like, I don't know if they really pass that well as weapons necessarily. I see what they're trying to do. It's kind of like a mini mind wipe with his daggers kind of thing.
Yeah.
So his little minion is kind of doing the same thing. But I was very pleasantly surprised because those parts in vehicle mode just become, they fill in the hole, because he has like little holes in his wings, and those parts plug in and fill in those holes and become, you know, a good portion of his wing in vehicle mode, and you can just leave them plugged in. Like, they're just part of his wings, and if he decides he wants weapons, he can pull one out and use it. So that was cool, because I thought during the transformation, like, you had to remove those, and if you don't want him to have weapons, and you know, you just got to put him off to the side, but you don't. So he's a good little scout on his own. So I'm sure I'll appreciate him more when I get Mind Wipe. But, yeah, so Sky Stalker is cool. I like his paint job. I like his little shockwave monocle, you know, eye thing. So he's neat.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
I got just a couple things this week, but I want to get the non-Transformers stuff out of the way, because the Transformers thing I got, I actually really want to talk about. So I got, this is mostly just to throw the name out there again, I got some more exclusive Rider stuff from X-Japan Yokata Shopping, and I only really bring it up because now GOG's used them once, and I just want to, say they are a very, very useful middleman service, especially because they basically do a pile of loot thing, so that you buy stuff. As it comes in, they'll just hang on to it. So I kind of did that to put 2 months' worth of releases together. And one of the things I got, I actually paid for last summer, because that's when the pre-order was done on them. So it was really satisfying to get them in the mail. Rising Ultimate Kuga, tall Ultimate Warrior-looking dude with gold crests. But that aside, I got a Transformers thing. Now, I have a bit of a story on this one. This was the Perfect Effect Shadow Warrior. And I got two of them, because I have a Shadow Commander. And shortly after they shipped, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if I should have done that. And then I watched some reviews, and even the positive reviews tended to give me an impression of, like, the thing having some pretty poor QC. And I was like, oh, man. Like, I was already thinking about ways to try to sell them after I got them, stuff like that. So I get them in, and I got to say that, like, having messed with them now for about 2 or 3 days, I love them! And the thing is that they're, like, they're $35-ish U.S., I believe, like, 38 or 39 Canadian off Automaton. Really hard to recommend them for the price because, you know, you just got to say it right up front. When you take all the guy's accessories off and you just have the robot, from head to toe, he is 2 3/8 inches tall. Like, he is short and tiny. The thing is that he has 5 accessories, really crisp sculpted detail molding, and his paint job is actually pretty good. The thing is that it has a bit of slop, right? And the thing is that because he's so small, any close-up pictures make any paint slop look about 10 times worse, because it's just, he's a very small canvas. So the slightest misbrushing will cause something that'll look a lot worse on him than it would on, for instance, like a mainline Scout or Deluxe toy. The reason why I adore this guy, though, is that the robot itself is actually really sturdy. The hinges on 2 of the pistons are kind of fragile, but the robot itself is really sturdy. And like I said, like, the head sculpt is almost unbelievable that it's this small, and the head actually turns, which kind of surprised me. And he's got ball-jointed shoulders and elbows. He's got ball-jointed waist and ball-jointed knees and ball-jointed pelvis, hip joints. All of those are really tight ball joints. They don't feel loose at all. In fact, they feel almost too tight at times. And his ankles almost have a ball joint, but they don't, and that's a bit of a flaw. But the thing is, like, that alone means you have this little, like, just less than 2.5-inch tall dude who is actually really, really poseable and solid. And then he has, like, the Frenzy and Rumble, like, wing guns he can plug on his back, or he can hold them as pistols. And then he comes with a pistol that he can hold as a pistol, or you can kind of holster it on his leg, but it doesn't really work. It's kind of loose. And then here's the thing where there's a thing about this guy. This dude will disappoint you, I think, if you want to get him as Frenzy or Rumble, the cassette robots, or if you want to get him as an accessory for Shadow Commander. Because the pistons, for instance, they really aren't pistons. They are giant Gatling guns that mount on the bottom of his forearms. What's really weird is they actually split open so you can store the wing cannons in them, but you actually can't fit his forearms in there, and that would have been a really easy gimmick to work in, I think. But if you don't think of him as pistons, you just think of him as even more guns, this little dude starts to get pretty intense, and then he transforms pretty solidly into a giant pistol with, like, 15 barrels on it. And when you try to plug him into, like, the Shadow Commander, for instance, on the sides, it's a bit of a tight fit. I mean, it looks cool, but it kind of pops out. It's way less exciting than the idea of just this little, like, shadowy, really poseable dude armed to the teeth with, like... Like, all these accessories can mount in all kinds of different places, which is one of the really cool things. And he could just transform into a flying gun. And then the little cherry on top of that is if you just transform his feet, basically his legs transform into rocket boosters, like, from the knees down. So he's basically able to propel himself around, fly around with the wing cannons on his back to make him aerodynamic. Or you can... You can even, like, put the wings into the pistons and then mount the piston cannons on his back with the wings sticking out, like the fins sticking out. It's a really fun little toy, and I really love him. And the best comparison I can make for him price-wise, aside from the obvious thing that if you were to get any other Japanese garage kit for $35, you'd get a pile of unpainted resin covered in flash. This little dude is painted quite decently, sculpted amazingly. He's really durable, and, like, to compare him, for the same price you could get Legends Devastator. Legends Devastator is a hefty piece of toy, 7 vehicles, he's a solid combiner, not too poseable. For the same price, you can get a little dude who's a bit shorter than a Legend, has a ton of accessories, and is really poseable. And to me, that's it's an apples and oranges thing, but it's still, I think, a pretty fair comparison to kind of justify the Shadow Warrior. I actually really want to bring one of these to BotCon just so people can mess with it, because I think a lot of people aren't going to buy it, and for very good reasons, because it's pretty expensive and it's pretty small. But it's a really fun toy to at least experience, just because he's so, like, got so many posing and display options with all these different accessories that you can plug on him or leave off of him. And you can plug everything onto him, which looks awesome. But I just wanted to get the word out there that the Shadow Warrior is actually a really, really nice toy. And I was going in super skeptical. Like Nemesis Predaking had some really bad QC luck. And I think one thing that helps is if you do buy this guy, if you buy a pair of them, if you do get unlucky with the QC, you can mix and match pieces between the two to put together, like, one that's really good overall. So it's not like this dude's QC is perfect or anything, but when it works, it really works. So
yeah, he looks really cool.
I'm glad to see that they...
But, like, you posted that picture of tape mode that was lacking, and
I made that up. That's not an official tape.
I thought you just had trouble getting him into tape mode, and I was like, "This is the best I can do."
No, people kept going, like, "Why doesn't he have a tape mode?" So I was like, "I'll see if I can bend him into a tape mode," and that was the best I could do. His actual alt mode is pretty much he transforms into a kind of he transforms very akin to Shockwave, actually, and that's kind of how I envision his alt mode. Is he's just a little dude who turns into a giant flying gun, and it's sized great for Voyagers or Ultras to actually hold with the, just as like Ultra Onslaught, for instance, to hold him as a handheld weapon or something like that. But he just turned out really well. And I would actually say if you don't care about paying a bit too much than you feel something's worth, you won't regret owning him if you buy him for the toy itself and not to use him as an accessory. Cause it's when you actually mess with him by himself that he is like, a cool toy first, and then it's like, oh, by the way, you can stick him on a Shadow Commander, but he looks way cooler by himself.
Yeah, I'm glad he turned out well. It's just, man, paying $35 for a 2-inch figure, I don't know if I can justify that.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that, like, the pistons that plug onto his forearms are also, like, they're each 2 inches long as well, so it's like he has these underarm cannons that are as big as he is, and then, like, the wing cannons on the back, like, he kind of bulks out a little bit. I'm gonna bring him to the conventions I go to, I think, just so I can show him to people, because he's a dude where it's like, once you have him in hand, you get shocked by the smallness, but then kind of amazed by what he can do while he's that small. I don't know how to explain it any better.
Are you gonna make up some crazy character and backstory for him?
I don't know. I don't think he needs one. He's a cool dude. Like, I have two of them, so it's kind of neat to have the two of them kind of skulking around the Shadow Commander, because they look so much like minions. Like, the idea that he's kind of just growing them out of his legs or something.
When you finally get around to reviewing Mighty Mug's Destro, since Destro is an arms dealer, you could link him to his story.
Yeah. Oh, man, Mighty Mug's Destro. I've been gearing up for that one for months.
I'm telling you, he's an arms dealer, and Shadow Commander turns into an arm.
That's true. But, I don't know. I want to get the word out there. Also, because I don't think anyone else in the podcast is going to buy one of these. So wanted to give them some coverage. I think that they really deserve a fair shake. I'm impressed. I am highly impressed by what I have in my hand here. But that's what we got this week. And we're going to finish up with a pair of listener questions. And this first one I got on YouTube. And I actually just want to try rapid firing it because these were some rapid fire questions. So I'm just going to ask a question and I want to get some answers from you guys. Let's blitz this one because these are some blitzy questions. This is from Baku Blade 1. So question number one, I bought music label Sound Blaster over Alternity Cliff. Do you guys think that was a good choice? Gog Dog.
Yeah. I mean, if you like him, he is one of those figures that's expensive, but he is the best toy version of G1 Soundwave that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. And if you are happy with your purchase, then yes, you did good. I like Alternative Cliff Jumper, but I mean, they are both good figures, so I have no problem whatsoever with that choice. It could go either way.
Mm-hmm. And Seth?
I don't have Alternative Cliff Jumper, so I can't compare them, but you could do a lot worse than what you got.
I agree with them. Personally, I like Alternative Cliff more, but the thing about music label sound anything is that, like, there's a bit of a hurdle over actually paying for him, but when you have him, he's an imminently satisfying toy who just happens to be kind of expensive. But I think he did good, Back of Blade. Question number two, should I buy the Battle Rolar reissue or ROTF Bludgeon? I'm just going to say, get Bludgeon first. Gog, what do you say?
Bludgeon. Easily.
And Seth, what do you say?
I'll say Bludgeon, too.
Yeah, only reason I say this is because Battle Rolar is pretty cool, but it can get kind of loose in the joints if you get unlucky with the QC. Yeah. And Bludgeon...
Bludgeon is cheaper and a better toy.
Yeah, Bludgeon is a dead solid toy who should be owned first. I mean,
Seth, you didn't get a Bludgeon yet, have you?
Not yet. I haven't. I'm waiting. Oh, he's going to show up at Kmart eventually, and then I'll pick him up.
All right, next question.
Yeah, this one was, I thought, just more because me and Gog were hoping to pull off something for this, and it didn't quite pan out. But what is your favorite figure of the decade / 2009? Now, the way I'm taking this is he means the decade, and then he means 2009. And the 2009 thing is the thing I was referring to. But Gog, how would you answer that question right now, rapid fire, this huge decision?
I guess we'll do decade. I still got to go with Kiss Play Hot Rodimus. I think that is the mold is amazing. The Ford GT is outstanding, and the Kiss Play Hot Rod is easily the best version of that. Even my love for Masterpiece Starscream G1 colors from Hasbro. I don't know, that Hot Rodimus figure has a special place in my heart. Comes with a fishing pole. Mm-hmm. It's just a great mold. It's great. It looks great in robot mode. It looks freaking liquid sex in vehicle mode. I think it's a perfect transformer almost. I mean, you could nitpick it, but I like that toy a lot, and I think that it is probably my favorite transformer that I own.
And I just realized for 2009s, technically we answered this already in the staff picks thing that the site did.
Yep.
So we can just do decade, I think. Seth, what would you say for the decade?
For the decade, that's kind of rough. Because my tastes have changed as time's gone on. And
well, I think that you can answer this with the concession that it's really likely that the answer could change at any moment, seeing how it's like, hey, in the last 10 years, what's your favorite toy? Go! It's like,
Yeah, I don't know. Well, just kind of looking across the room to where I do not have hardly a fraction of my collection on display, but just like from what's in my field of vision, I mean, the Masterpiece Grimlock is just really, really great, and that music label Soundwave is such the ultimate Soundwave. I'd probably pick one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even feel comfortable giving an answer because I'm going to waffle on it within minutes. Like, if this question was asked, like, what was your favorite toy from 2000 to 2005, it'd be a lot easier because that's when the age of...
I love how you tell Seth just to spit something out. You're like, hey, I could change in any moment, so just say anything. And then when it comes to you, you're like, I don't feel comfortable answering the question for the same reason I just gave Seth the answer.
I'm doing a preface. Let me finish my preface. My preface here was that if this was asked like in 04 or 05, it'd be really easy because there was like Masterpiece and stuff like that was just starting up. But now with the dearth of good toys, it's almost more like what's the assortment of best toys from the last decade. But really the not so much best toy, but the toy that I have the best memories of, and it's like this is the canned answer, and I'm sorry about it, but it would be Masterpiece Convoy because that toy was an event when it came out. And I don't think a toy since then has had quite as much of a sheer amount of not just that toy looks cool, but the very idea of this release is unbelievable kind of sense to it. Like, I remember at BotCon when Aaron Archer pulled that thing out from under the table, the crowd like detonated. Like literally people were going up there afterwards going like, Aaron Archer, I will pay you $3,000 to sell me that test shot right now. Like, nowadays, Masterpiece toys are so dime a dozen, you know, quote unquote dime a dozen, or fan wank on that level is so common that, you know, I always like to think of Masterpiece Convoy as like, that was when like the bar wasn't just raised, the bar was like taken out, everyone left the building, we installed in a new building that had like 15 higher bars in it when we got there, and like a gymnasium, I don't know. So Masterpiece Convoy, as much as I hate to give the canned answer, that is the answer I would have to give. Number four, what do you think of this custom?
There's a link in the topic list to the custom.
I'm already there. Looks cool. I would buy that. I'm still trying to get a hold of an Energon Galvatron. I'm not really making a concentrated effort because, I mean, I could go on eBay and buy one right now, but I do intend on owning one because it, in my opinion, is the best looking Galvatron. And this looks better. I'd buy this if they made it. And if I mean, it looks cool. I dig it. I dig it. I support it. It's awesome.
And Seth?
Yeah, design is great. Paint job is great. It's great.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. Even if the highlighting on the paint was gone, so it would be more mainline-ish, I think it would be a really good silhouette.
Yeah, I wish the head was a little more G1-ish.
I can see that. A little bit of a
looks,
cone.
That looks more like a Brave head than a Transformer head. But minor complaint.
I think
you're going to offend Rain Chang 007 with that one.
Yeah, I think we should not say what it is. And you should not put a picture of it in the chapter links. And it could just be a mystery for everybody. And that way, that way we don't hurt anybody's feelings by not talking about their awesome customs.
That's right. So
we're talking about everyone's custom. Everyone.
Hey, I'm sharing the question.
Racist. I think you're racist. Yeah,
I'm sharing probably. The question as it was asked. The question was, "What do you think of this custom link?" So there you go.
That's awesome.
Baku Blade knows what we're talking about. Hope that we answered your questions, Baku Blade. Now we got one more listener question I want to cover from XL Hedge. This one's a special one from February. The question is, quote, seeing as it is February, the month of love, and seeing how it's
totally is
still February. Yeah. Sorry about that. I have a question for you guys. Which fembot or female human Transformers character would you take out on a date? And what would you do on your date? And how would you end the night? Any continuities are allowed and no picking the same girl or fembot. Also, character ages don't matter. Keep up the great work on the show. Seth Buzzard, your answer.
Boy. I have never been comfortable with fetishizing and sexualizing the female fembody characters. They are giant robots, so that would be weird. I'm going to break the rule some, and if I have to pick something, I'm gonna pick Circuit Breaker. She's mostly human.
It's a female human Transformers character. So
and roughly the same size.
Yeah.
What would you do and how would you end the night?
Probably be scared because she's crazy and maybe end up dead at the end. I don't know.
Good man. Gog.
It's kind of weird. I'm sorry, dude, that wrote it in. But this question's really weird. Makes me uncomfortable. Well,
I have no problems with my. I would choose easily animated Black Arachnia.
You're a pervert.
For the reason that she's biomechanical and says, "What would you do on your date?" She's biomechanical. How would you end the night? She's biomechanical. That's all that needs to be said.
Good answer.
She's not just a robot. You know, there are legitimate parts in there.
And what would pop out afterwards?
Evangelist, what's your answer?
Fembot, I'd take out on a date would be Revenge of the Fallen RC, because there'd be three of them. And what we'd do on the date, we'd ride on the town! And how would I end the night? Like I end any other night, I'd take them home, sedate them, chop them up, and eat them.
You'd eat metal?
I'd do it for love. XL Hedge goes on to say, keep up the great work on the show. Capital U, capital P on up, so...
And capital G on great.
Yes. So we hope we answered your question, XL Hedge. Seth enjoyed it quite a bit. And that's our listener question section. That's our podcast. That's episode 85. Thanks for listening, everybody. Gog, Seth, is this the point where I finally remember to mention that Druido isn't here due to traffic?
That's terrible.
Oh, man.
Didn't even occur to me. Until
ba-bum, ba-bum.
It occurred to me like 20 minutes in, I was like, I can't just pop up and say it. And I was like, maybe I'll say it after the intermission. Then I forgot. So Druido isn't here this show, in case you haven't noticed, because he was caught in traffic.
Why don't you just go back and dub it in?
Later. I would never do that.
Oh, and is this the part where me and Evangelist both say, thank you, Seth Buzzard, for buying us Mass Effect 1?
Yes! Thank you, Seth Buzzard, for buying us Mass Effect 1. I've started the legend of Van Shepard, and he's a cool guy.
You guys are hella welcome.
Seth was having so much fun playing Mass Effect 2, and was so frustrated that he couldn't share his experiences with us, because neither one of us had played it. Neither of us had played the first one. He just, decided to buy it for us.
Yeah,
it was very sweet.
I got a Purilator message, like, there's something for you. I was like, when have I ever used Purilator? So I go there, and they're like, enjoy your game. I was like, this is a small unmarked envelope. They're saying there's a game in here. Could be a bomb. I'm going to open it up here, but it was Mass Effect 1. So I made a twit bit about it, kind of jokingly, and unfortunately I was too good an actor, and then Seth thought I was legitimately angry at him, and I wasn't. I really do appreciate that a lot. And oddly enough, shortly after that, my friend Jacob went and traded in his unopened copy of GTA 4 and bought Mass Effect 1 for about $15 used. So it's in the air. Mass Effect 1's in the air. Welcome to 2000.
Pretty good. GTA 4 is a pretty good game.
Jacob doesn't
I
like
know
it.
What Jacob's problem is.
He played mine. He's
you
just
said
like,
it was unopened. How does he know he doesn't like it?
He played mine like a year before he got his Xbox, and he just didn't enjoy it that much.
Then what did he get a copy for it to not open?
Because it came with his Xbox. It was packed
why
in.
Why did he get a different Xbox?
Because this is the Elite. It's the black one.
It's an Elite frame.
Seriously, though, when animated Black Arachnia takes her helmet off, how can you say no to that?
I am right there. I'm all in that. After I finish eating the RC triplets, I'd be all over Black Arachnia.
You guys are weird.
Be like, you want to get in my lunchbox?
Let me Google some Rule 34 real quick.
Night, everybody!
Before it's too late, get out! Don't look at the chapter picks.
Oh, now we gotta put one in now.